John to come up and join us. John and Pam have travelled all the way from the Isle of Wight, and they're with us throughout the week. They arrived yesterday, but a long day as the flight was very late. So I hope he's rested, and he's going to speak to us this evening. Thank you, John.
Kay. Can I just move some of that for a minute, please? Wonderful to be here. It's a fresh thing for me to be in France. It's the first time I've been to France, and I nearly was stopped coming because for the last 4 or 5 weeks I've been smitten with illness and all kinds of stuff. And even just before getting on the plane yesterday, this left ear blocked. So if anybody's been speaking to me and I failed to answer, it's because I've got a little bit of a blockage in my lug. Thank you, Kay, for the invitation and the leadership of the church. It's a privilege to be with you. We're thoroughly enjoying ourselves, and wherever Jesus wants us to go, we're available to go for him, because at the end of the day, we're here to glorify him, and he's with us here now in our presence. I'm going to ask Pam to come and do a Bible reading, please. Our Bible reading.
If you want to follow it in the Word, I'm reading from Philippians chapter 3, 1 to 15. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what these things were gained to me, there I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is in faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind, And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
You probably noticed that Pam's accent is different to mine. I don't actually come from the Isle of Wight, but Pam was born and bred on the Isle of Wight. I have a Midland accent and I was born and bred in Coventry, Warwickshire, during the devastating Blitz of the last war. The eldest of four. My father died when I was 13. My mother died when I was 17 and the home was split up. By the time I was 19, or at the time I was an apprentice painter and decorator, and that all went. And by the time I was 18, I was in the British Army and spent just over 2 years in the British Army. And came out with a major drink problem and a big chip on my shoulder, wondering what life was all about and why was it always happening to me. And I went through the 1960s in that kind of mindset, drifting and drinking and losing jobs and not really caring much about anything but today, living for today. Finally, in 1972, I found myself checking in the Salvation Army hostel in Coventry, seeking a bed. That was a Saturday evening of March 1972. Sunday morning came, and the deal was that if you went into the meeting, you would get a cup of tea when you came out. And there was about 50 of us in this room listening to a man preach the gospel. He was known as the Major, and he was quite a big man. And he started talking about the love of God. And I'm sat on the side, not directly in front, but on the side listening. And I began to consider the fact that outside of all the problems that I had, there was the possibility of a God who loved me. And it took from that point in 1972, I eventually made a commitment of faith. I was taken on the staff in the hostel. My job was a bed maker. I progressed to a booking clerk, and I don't know what happened after that. I slipped away and was back in the pub. And that went on for about 10 years, drifting, never really coming to the place where I found complete fulfillment in the faith that I had. It didn't seem to work for me, because when the problems came, I just gave up. But finally, in 1979, on a Wednesday evening, about 7:30, after being in trouble with the police through drink and all the rest of it, some would say being lifted, I came back to the place where I was living. It was a Wednesday night, about 7:30. Nobody was with me, and it's an encounter with God in the flat, and I've never been the same man's sins, permanently and radically changed. Never had another drink of alcohol. From that Wednesday to the Sunday, I knew that I was going to go into a little church on the estate where I was living. I had about 15 fags or cigarettes left, and I determined that when I'd smoke those, I was never going to smoke again, because I knew within me that God wanted me clean. And that's what happened. And even after the last cigarette, I rolled up what was left, and that was it. And by the grace of God, I've never smoked since. I've never been back in the pub drinking alcohol. Shortly after that, God gave me a vision for the centre of the nation. I know that God called me into ministry. We don't all come the same way, and the way that I came was the way that I've just described to you. I knew that God had called me to establish a ministry in the centre of the nation. That culminated in 1995, when God brought Pam into my life. We met in Cumbria at a place some of you will know, where Derek Cook was based at the time. That's where we met. That's another story. But God brought us together, and she then left the Isle of Wight to come and work with me in the Midlands. And we established an outreach centre in a place called Meriden, which is historically the centre of England. And we was able there to start and pioneer a small church and work with all the central regional churches in outreach and pioneering, etc. 5 years ago, we felt it was right to move back to the island, and we handed the work over to a young pastor and his wife, and God has taken us back to the Isle of Wight, and that's where we're based now. Working mainly on the island, coming off now and again when we get lovely invitations to come to France and just minister and being available to encourage the body of Christ. My heart's desire is to see the church, the body of Christ, rising and being all that God wants it to be. That includes me as well. So I feel that when I was asked to, when Kay invited me to come over with the leadership, I felt it, that God wanted me to come and bring some kind of encouragement to you, to encourage you to continue in what God has called you to do. And for those of you that are in this church, in this fellowship, or part of it, you are not here by chance. You may have decided to come and have some fellowship and all the rest of it, but that's how God operates and draws us in, and you're here by the grace of God. And I believe that the greatest and most important thing in any person's life is to know God and accomplish his calling and purposes on our lives. There's nothing more important. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of pressing on. Pressing on in God. Finding God's will for your life. Accomplishing what God has called you to do. Being the person that God wants you to be. And knowing the direction that he's calling you in, etc. So I just want to walk through one or two of these verses and hear what the Lord may be saying to us. And I include myself in that. The purpose of the letter that Paul wrote is one of the prison letters which he wrote in Rome whilst in house arrest in prison for preaching the gospel, AD 61. It was written to bring encouragement to the Philippians, including the church worldwide and the church here at Bergerac. Written to strengthen the believers at Philippi in their faith and Christians everywhere. Written to show them that the true joy only comes through Jesus Christ. True joy and fulfillment only comes through having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We're only completely complete when we have the power and the presence of God in our lives by the person of the Holy Spirit with us, making us complete. God created us to have fellowship with him. And until we find that, that is the key of life. Knowing God, coming back to God, being all that God created you to be. He knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. He has a perfect plan for you. You're not an accident. You're not surplus to requirement. He knows you completely. I want to say that the Christian journey is a process of different seasons. Looking back, we can see the various seasons that God brings us through. And we start at A, and wherever we are today, we can look back and say, God has brought me thus far. Or we can look back and say, I haven't changed much, nothing much has happened for me, I'm still struggling, etc. In verse 3 we read, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in what Jesus did. I mean, I can stand here for the rest of the evening just rejoicing and speaking to you about all that Christ Jesus has done for me. How he brought me out of darkness. How he turned my life upside down and straightened me out. And so that I'm standing in his grace tonight. And I'm here by the grace of God. All by the love of God. And so when we look back, we can think, where would I have been without Christ? And tonight, if you haven't got Christ in your life, I want to say that Christ is here for you tonight, speaking to you, knocking at the door of your heart and saying, if you open the door, I will come in and start to lead you into all that I've got for you. Have no confidence in worldly things. Have no confidence in the flesh. God is our only source. God, at the end of the day, is our only source for all that we need as a human being. Everything of any good and purpose comes from God. God will provide for us. God gives us the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. He came to save those who were lost. I was lost, but now I'm saved. He came to seek and to find those who were lost. He came to bring in the kingdom of God. There is a better way. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's a spiritual kingdom that brings us into a relationship with him and takes us ultimately into the presence of God to be with him forever. It's a restoration. All we're heading for without Christ is a lost eternity. We're lost. We can't save ourselves. The Bible says that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Keep focused on higher things of the Spirit. Praying, reading the Bible, and meditating. God values the attitude of our hearts above all else. I believe that God wants to speak to some here tonight that doesn't know Christ, but he also wants to speak to the church group and leadership to encourage you to continue in why he has put you here and what his purpose is for what he wants to do here in your calling. I want to just deal with tribulation. Dealing with tribulation. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5 verses 1 to 3. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. I want to say when we're in the will of God, we will have tribulation, difficulties. Perseverance means facing trouble, distress, and difficulties and hardship. Nothing good comes easy. And often the devil will try and confuse us, and so that the church is fighting one another. But God often puts us in a situation where we are with people that we can't get on with, or there are difficult circumstances where he's got, where we're looking in on each other and fighting each other, and the devil just wants to stop what we're doing and what God is wanting to do. But often God will allow those things to strengthen us so that we can start to grow up into maturity and become strong in the faith to press on. We've come too far to turn back. We've come too far to turn back. If your name is written in the book of life tonight, you have eternal life. If your name is written in the book of life, salvation is just the beginning. When we come into a relationship with God, it's just the beginning. It's the start of a new life. It's the start of a spiritual development. And salvation means that God is salvaging something from nothing to make us into some person that we couldn't have done in our own strength. In other words, God has a perfect plan for each one of us. And so we all have peaks and troughs to overcome. And as a special plan for your life. God allows things to come into our lives for a purpose, to teach us and help us to grow. We want, you know, big rivers start from little trickles. Big rivers start from little trickles. And people's lives change as well from childhood into something that God will develop and change, so that we become a man and woman of God who is a person that God can look at and say, this is a child of mine and I'm well pleased with you. There is no shortcuts to our destiny. There's no shortcuts. We have to go through God's plan. And God has a blueprint for each one of us. And that blueprint is clear and precise. There are no shortcuts, and nobody can go through somebody else's plan. We all have a plan of our own. We can determine to say, Father, I want your will for my life. But that is taking on something where we're saying, show me your will for my life, Lord. And a lot of us have been so damaged from the past and been told we will amount to nothing. We're in that place where we think we're not going to amount to anything. But the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is God saying to you tonight about what he's maybe asking you to do in those all things? God's blueprint for our life. God wants us to seek him for direction and purpose. Not for our own will, but for his will. In verse 4 we read here, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, the Apostle Paul said, I more. He was a very successful worldly man. He then reels off his pedigree, circumcised the eighth day, a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin. He even held the coat for those that killed, what was his name?
Stephen.
He held the coats for those that persecuted and killed stoned Stephen. He persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. His mindset was on worldly things. He couldn't see beyond his Jewishness and all the rest of that. I mean, when I think of looking at this verse, many of us have our own ideas about God. I can remember a time when I said I didn't believe there was a God. I'm going to do it my way. I've got my own ideas about things. Thank you very much. Pie in the sky by and by. But he came to the place where he had an encounter with Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and he was completely and utterly changed, radically and permanently, never to be the same again. We're blinkered and we're locked often into our own mindset, in the way that we're brought up in our thinking and everything. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Praise God. You want abundant life. All things working together for good for those that love God. God's a perfect plan. Perfect plan. I mean, I would never have thought 42 years ago that I'd be standing here in France speaking to you like I'm speaking to you tonight. Because what I was doing then was standing at the hatch of the Salvation Army hostel asking the major if he'd take me in for the weekend. And he agreed to do it on the condition that you go to the Social Security on Monday morning and get a voucher to cover you for the weekend. That was the deal. Paul's values changed when he encountered Jesus. But what I thought was gain for me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Verse 7. Paul was permanently and radically changed. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ and was never the same again. His name was written in glory in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was on the way to eternity, to the presence of God. All he thought was important was nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. I just want to say that it's a high calling to know that God has called us to do something. There's nothing more important. God's called you to plant a church here in this place. God will finish what he starts. God is faithful. God doesn't change his mind. The problem is often that we get discouraged by circumstances and we start to just revert back to our own thing and push God out, because often that we're not able to stand and keep standing. We're called to a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual fight. And we can only go and help others as much as we've helped ourselves first. We need to know how to deal with the devil, because he wants to stop what God wants to do in your life and in the church and in the development of the kingdom of God. By the grace of God, he will finish what he begins in our lives if we're continually willing to press on. Paul said, "I have not arrived yet or finished what God has called me to do. I'm not there yet. I've not arrived. I don't know it all. I'm still a learner. I'm still an apprentice. I'm following Christ. He's teaching me as I go along. And thank God that I can know him and the glory of his resurrection." We're worshipping the one who overcame death tonight. We're worshipping the one that died in your place and my place, took our death. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Jesus is alive and at the right hand of God. He's a living Saviour. It's reality. He's a living Saviour. We have come too far to turn back. Giving up is not an option. He wants to finish the course. I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on the goal, knowing Christ. Knowing Christ. Jesus said, "If you want to be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, Galileans, that comes from the time that many Galileans were killed by the Romans. They were told to carry the cross to the place of execution, where they was hung on a cross. Take up your cross daily means to die to ourselves daily, and to put Christ and his will in the centre of our lives. Nothing more important in life. And we're all called from different backgrounds, different in families and all the rest of it. But God is drawing us to himself, and he draws us in different ways. And he speaks to us in ways that we can hear. The way that God speaks to me and directs me is for me. But if we're spiritually in tune with him and we're willing to surrender to him, he will speak to you in a way that you will hear his voice. Praise God. Let go of the past. Let go of the hurts. Let go of the rubbish. And start to focus on where we're going and what the future holds. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to these things, or those things which are ahead. Verse 13. Paul had a checkered past. Many of us have had a checkered past. But he changes people's lives. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We may have been hurt, let down, or disappointed, but forgiveness is the key. You know, the enemy wants to put something on us that we're not going to forgive anybody for what they did to us in the past, and we can't get it out of our claw. We can't get it out of our system. But I've struggled with this one. I can, you know, relate to this. And it hangs on you and it weighs you down, and it stops you coming into a release place in God, because this thing from the past has hurt so much, we can't forgive them for what they did. I never forgive him for what he did to me. And the key to it is to say, Father, I forgive them, and really renounce the thing that's causing the issues, because it will make us ill. It will hold us back. Let go of the past. We have to let go of the past to connect with the future. And when we fulfill present challenges, God will then take us on to new challenges. Finish first what God has called us to do. That may be dealing with an issue in our own lives. It may be doing something with our family group, or in our marriage, or in the church. Are we focused on doing what God is asking us to do now? When we fulfill that, often something else will open up and we will move on. And that's God's way of maturing us, causing us to grow up into what he's calling us to be. This is just a preparation for eternity. God is calling us to himself, and at the same time he's changing our character and our purpose. He's making us more like Christ if we'll surrender to what God is doing. But it is a preparation for when he takes us out of it, and we will ever be with him, or if he doesn't come first and take us to be with him. A vision for the future. 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are you pressing forward? Are you in tune with what the Holy Spirit is putting before you, speaking to you about? Can you hear his voice? Do you know where you're going? I'm so glad that God never gave up on me. I can look back and think of the people that gave up on me, but God has never given up. And I know that when Christ came right into the centre of my life on the 14th of March 1979, he's never left me. He's deep down within me. And it took me nearly, I don't know, 7 years to come to the place where I was completely willing to let go and let Christ come into the centre of my life. And that's the deal. But we become more than conqueror. We become more than a conqueror. We become a child of God. A person who is serving God. A person who knows where they're going. A person who knows the mind of God often because we're listening to God. We're spending time in God's presence. We're reading the Bible. We can lead our home. We can be a leader in our home, and we can be a leader in the church, and we can be a leader of men and women and an example to younger people. I want to encourage the church here to rise up in challenge to what God may be leading you to do. I press toward the goal for the high, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is your dream? What is the vision for CAF Church? You know, for those of us who are Christian, God will give us the desires of our heart if we dare to trust him and believe that the key to it is knowing God's will, getting confirmation, and then getting on with the job of doing his will. God will give you goals. We will get a big picture collectively of where we, what we want to see. And then he will give us goals to achieve that a step at a time. It might be a focus for 2016 to just do something a little bit more than we've done in the past, which will take us on a little bit further to 2017, where we might have another goal, or perhaps another couple of goals which God is putting before us, and we're moving on in God. We're progressing. We're fulfilling God's purposes. God will give you goals. They will be stepping stones to fulfill your vision. Are you a Christian tonight? Have you allowed Christ, or have you asked Christ to come into your life? Everything is worthless and empty without the knowledge of God and the relationship with God. In conclusion, I want to say, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. I'm not going to go on too long because I know the time is at a premium. Shall we pray? If there's anyone here tonight that has never opened the door to your life to Christ and asked him to come in, I want to pray for you tonight. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door of your heart knocking. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I would like to pray for anyone who's in that place where you know that God is calling you to do something with your life. And that is, first of all, to accept Jesus as your Saviour. And then I want to pray a corporate prayer for the church. So if there's anyone here now listening to my voice and you've never said, Jesus, come into my life, I want to say a little prayer with you, and you can follow me in that prayer. And if you say it in faith, then God will honour that and you will know that Christ has come into your heart. Say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of the living God, and that you came into this world to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart now. Forgive me. Be my Lord and my Saviour. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart now, the moment I ask you to. Come in, Lord, and confirm your presence to my heart. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now I'm going to say a prayer for the church and the leadership. Father, thank you for opening the door for what you want to do here in Bergerac. Thank you for those that you've called from abroad, even from the UK and other places, to come together. Those that you chose to come together, to be part of a team, to be part of your representation in this part of the vineyard. Father, I pray that you'll give them wisdom. I pray that you'll give them a sense of the direction and purpose to what you're calling them to do. I pray, Lord, for them that there'll be nothing more important than fulfilling your purposes. Father, we believe your word that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to us. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon them, that you'll meet every need, that you'll bring every resource to them. Cause them to be a fellowship where the peace and the fellowship is sweet, and there's a development of growth and maturity amongst them. Add to their numbers, Lord, and bless them abundantly, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.